Seated. Stories told of a man who called the doctor. He was frantic. And he said, "My wife is pregnant and her contractions are only 2 minutes apart." The doctor said, okay, calm down. Is this her first child?" "No, you idiot," the man said, "this is her husband." In our gospel reading today, there's a question of identity as well. It's a question about who were the people God was really interested in. It's a question about who is God really? What's he like? Again, context is important. In the situation, we see the Pharisees and scribes were really irritated because Jesus was allowing sinners and tax collectors to come, listen, and learn from him. The Pharisees and scribes, you understand, were people who worked really hard at being good and following the law of Moses. The term sinners here means people, Jews, who had kind of abandoned the Jewish religion. Usually this meant that they were involved in occupations the Jewish law forbade. They mixed with non-Jews. They worked on Sabbath days. They did things that were against the religious law. And the Jewish community, there was an understanding that God's people were not to consort with sinners. In fact, rabbis were not even supposed to teach one who was a sinner. And this is exactly what Jesus was doing. He was not only allowing those who were known as sinners to listen and learn from him, he was encouraging them. And they had strict rules about keeping oneself clean and pure. And the reason the Jews had these laws were good. They were trying to please God. After all, it was God who wanted the Jews to live in a manner that was different from the pagans around them. It was God who had mandated the dietary laws that separated them from their neighbors. It was God who mandated the liturgical laws that made certain things and people clean and unclean, holy and common. Remember what happened to the Israelites in 722 and 586 BC. Israel had become like her pagan neighbors and begun worshiping idols, and God punished the nation by having other nations invade them and then deport them. Remember what happened during the time of Ezra. God became unhappy with his people because they intermarried with their neighbors. And God was unhappy, and they had to get divorces from these pagan wives. So what's going on here? Is God, through Jesus, saying it's okay to be involved with sin? Is Jesus saying he doesn't really care about how we live? Was God just kidding about all those laws he gave to Moses? First, we know that Jesus is absolutely for keeping ourselves pure and unstained by the world around us. Jesus is strongly against sin. And when we sin, we harm not only ourselves, but those around us. Sin's a poison and results in spiritual death. Remember, the very first sermon Jesus preached was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand." And repent means to feel remorse, feel bad about doing bad things, and to change. Jesus also is on record for saying, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus himself had and wants his followers to have a high moral standard of living. So he's not minimizing any standards of God. Right is still right. Breaking the commandments of God is still wrong. Without minimizing sin, though, Jesus wants people to understand who God is and what he's like. To do this, he tells three stories about lost things. We heard two of them in our gospel reading. In these first two stories, the lost item is not the focus. The focus is on the one who lost, in the first case, the sheep, and the second place, a coin. And the first story, the shepherd with 100 sheep, will be part of the middle class, economically speaking, in Israel. Each sheep to this shepherd would be valuable. One day, when he's out with his sheep in the fields, he notices that one of his sheep is missing. It was that fluffy one, the one with three spots on it. So he leaves the 99 sheep to go look for Fluffy. Maybe he had some assistant shepherds who were watching the other sheep. Maybe he didn't. But the point of the story is the shepherd's so concerned about Fluffy three spots that he's willing to leave the rest of the sheep to find him. Now, when he does finally find him, the shepherd picks him up and carries him back home. Now, Fluffy's a full-grown sheep, not a lamb. Unlike the pictures where we see a shepherd holding a lamb in the crook of his arm as if it was 4 or 5 pounds, the shepherd here has to do a fireman's carry. See, here we've got a picture of Jesus with a little lamb. That little lamb is very light. A full-grown sheep is a minimum of 80 pounds. They think it can get up to about 160. So that's heavy. And to carry that sheep, he's got to put him in a fireman's carry and put him over his shoulders. And not only that, but the terrain upon which they would graze the sheep was hilly, sometimes even mountainous. So he's staggering around with his sheep on his back, getting his way all the way back home. It's a lot of work. And notice when he gets home, look at his reaction. Now, if you or I know if I had this kind of day, we might, or I might, you maybe you wouldn't do this, but I would stagger in the door, turn to my wife and say, "Ah, what a rotten day I just had. That dadgum Fluffy three spots got lost. And I had to look all over creation for him. Finally found that stupid thing, got him back home. Dang, my neck hurts, my shoulders ache. I'm going to go sit in the lazy boy. Would you please bring me a cold one while I kind of relax?" But that's not what this guy does. Just the opposite. He comes in, bursts through the door, and says, "Honey, let's have a party." He has his friends and neighbors over. They open up the bar, they drink, they celebrate, and he goes around saying over and over again, "I found Fluffy and got him back." There's a lot of joy here. No grumbling about all the work he had to do to get him back. And the next story, a woman loses a silver coin. Now, it's not a coin from her coin purse. These coins would have been part of her dowry and were worn as ornamental decorations around a headdress. And it could be compared to a diamond and a woman's wedding ring today. So they're very significant to her. Not only important to her emotionally, but valuable. This dowry of which this would have been part was her Social Security or her retirement or her insurance in case her husband died. So what does she do when she loses the coin? She carefully sweeps the house to look for it. Now, the houses of poor people didn't have windows per se, only a doorway. And furthermore, because they're dirt floors, they had straw on the floor. So it'd be very easy for a little coin to get lost. So she has to very carefully sweep and look and hunt, because otherwise it's going to get buried in the dirt and in the straw. And again, we don't hear of her grumbling like, "Oh, Dad, gummit, gotta find this little bitty coin in all this mess." No. When she finds it, she's thrilled. She runs out of the house to her friends and neighbors going, "I found it! I found it! Look! Woohoo! I found it! I thought it was gone." Identities? Who's who? Surprise? The shepherd and the woman represent God Almighty. And through them, we see how God and even all of heaven feel when people repent, when they are found and come back to God, when someone stops trying to make life work on their own, when a person stops trying to find fulfillment of life through money or pleasure or possessions or position. Instead of that, the person turns to God. When that happens, those who are in heaven throw a party. God the Father and all the millions of mighty and powerful angels throw a party. They have balloons. They high-five each other. They let off fireworks and everything. Well, to be strictly honest, I don't know about the fireworks or the balloons or the high fives. But it's really clear that there's a big celebration. And Jesus shows us the attitude of God the Father. And quite frankly, this attitude is revolutionary. God seeks out to rescue the lost ones, the ones who haven't been following God's ways, just like Jesus is doing. And he welcomes them into the kingdom. So, in answering the other question, who are the people God's really interested in? Who does he really care about? Turns out, he values each of us. He values the ones who are trying to serve him, and he values the ones who are living their lives in total rebellion. He wants all of humanity to be in relationship with him. Yes, God is holy and righteous, and he does expect his children to want to be like him, holy and righteous. But what the religious and the not religious didn't know was that God is compassionate as well, and loving as well. And God will forgive us, and in fact is eager to forgive us and wants us to turn to him. God is out looking for us because he wants people, humanity made in his image, to have life. And God knows that life, true life, is only found with him through Jesus. Amen.